Our scripture today is from the third chapter of Lamentations, verses 1 through 12. I am one who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Against me alone, he turns his hand. Again and again, all day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away and broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me sit in the darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has put heavy chains on me, and though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stones, and he has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He led me off my way and tore me to pieces. He's made me desolate, bent his bow, and set me as a mark for his arrow. The Lord always blesses the reading of the Holy Word. The 8 o'clock service didn't even say thanks be to God for that scripture this morning. Today we come to the book of Lamentations. And while this book appears in the midst of all of those prophetic books of the Old Testament, it really reminds us more of the book of Psalms because of its poetry. In fact, there are a number of Psalms that are also laments. The book of Lamentations is more like the Psalms than it is, say, Isaiah or Micah or Jeremiah. Lamentations is a short book. I was grateful for that this past week with all of the trips back and forth to Springfield. It's only 5 chapters, and each chapter in the book of Lamentations is a poem about trouble. We don't use the word lament that much in our common everyday English, but to lament is to complain, to grieve, to argue with God. You can tell that from the scripture that I read. It is to wail and sob, to vent one's bitterness, to pour out one's doubts and disappointments, questioning even the existence of God himself. Now, one would think that these 5 poems making up the book of Lamentations would be depressing. But when we get into them in a deep way, they're not depressing, and I'll tell you why as we move along this morning. There's a story behind the book of Lamentations, a catalyst that caused these poems to be written. They were written in response to a national disaster that happened almost 600 years before Jesus was born. And before we examine the Old Testament history, the cataclysmic event that caused these poems to be written, I'd like us to think for a moment about the disasters we've had in our own nation and the amount of grief and complaint and anguish that our own disasters have, that have been consequent of the disasters we've had. The first thing that comes to my mind is 9/11 and all of the lamenting and all of the grief that we had throughout our country when that happened. Another thing is it seems like every month flags are at half mast because we have had mass shootings. And there's this growing sense of anguish and grief and torment that these problems continue unabated. We as a nation feel a sense of lament and grief whenever there is a hurricane or a tornado or a wildfire or an earthquake that causes loss of life and great devastation. We feel the lament in those times of national trouble. We feel a sense of lament when our country is at war. We have that picture of the 2 military officers in dress uniform walking up a sidewalk, knocking on a front door to inform a family that their loved one has died in a faraway place. and in the history of our country. We've had lamentation whenever we have had war on our within our own country, the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, and especially the Civil War. There has been lamentation. There was lamentation in the late 20s and through the 1930s at the great economic depression that occurred. I remember, I wasn't very old at the time, but the national lamentation when John Kennedy was shot, and then later Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy assassinations. The thing we notice, however, about our own national lamentations is that there has never been any event in the history of our own country that has been able to destroy in one period of time the whole country. While the whole country might be affected by news of something happening somewhere, never have we experienced a situation where all of our public buildings were destroyed. Never have we seen the decapitation of all of our leadership, political, military, civic. Never have we seen a situation where such a catastrophe has occurred, where every single home in the entire country was destroyed and everybody was left homeless. We've never had that kind of a catastrophe. But this is the kind of catastrophe that gave rise to the Book of Lamentations, because about 600 years before Jesus was born, the Babylonian army came into the tiny country of Judah with its capital city of Jerusalem and destroyed everything. There was utter devastation. Every public building was destroyed. Every home in their entire country was torn down. Most of their children were slaughtered by the sword. Most of their women were raped. Most of their men were mutilated. Anybody with an education, with money, or with connections was either killed or imprisoned. Everybody in the whole country, all the property was plundered. And when this devastation was completed in 682 BC, there was not a town remaining. There was not a family remaining. The religion had been obliterated. And there was not a sign throughout the city or the country that people had once lived ordinary and happy lives. The Book of Lamentations was written as a response to this utter and total devastation that occurred in the tiny country of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. And so when we read the Book of Lamentations, even though it was written about a different kind of destruction, and even though it was written at a different time for different people, the strange thing is this, that when we read the Book of Lamentation, we realize that we ourselves have had bits and pieces and sometimes large chunks of the tragedy and the devastation. We can see pieces of the problem in our bodies, in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in our country, and in our world. The Book of Lamentations, even though it was specific to another time and place, is universal. It applies to everybody. Anybody who ever has to face trouble, the Book of Lamentation resonates with us. It resonates with our own tragedies, our own losses in our families, in our churches, our communities, and in our places of work. And one of the strange things, when we read Lamentations, we realize that the Book of Lamentations is actually reading us. And so it becomes for us an often neglected book, but a very important book. It's a book that perhaps understands us as well as any book of the Bible. The Book of Lamentations belongs to the ages, to all of us. And the Book of Lamentations really can help us when our worlds have been shattered, whatever it is that may be happening to us personally. The Book of Lamentations can help us. Now, the Book of Lamentations does not give us answers such as, well, why is all of this happening to me? It doesn't answer those kinds of questions. But the book of Lamentations does give us some space and some freedom and some structure so that we can navigate a world that appears to us to be nothing but chaotic. The book of Lamentations, in 47 years, this is the first time I've preached a sermon on the book of Lamentations. I probably should have been preaching on it every year. Now, we don't know who wrote the book of Lamentations, although later legends will claim that it was Jeremiah. That's probably not right. But as we read the book of Lamentations, don't worry about who wrote it. Instead, make notice of its strange organization. It has five chapters, and of those five chapters, all but one has 22 verses. No other book of the Bible is so structured. 22, 22. The third chapter has 66 verses, which is 3 times 22. And then the fourth and the fifth chapters, 22 verses. You won't find any other book of the Bible that's structured this way. So we ask ourselves, well, what's so special about 22? And the fact is the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters in it. And so the chapters of Lamentations are what we would call an acrostic. The first verse of the first chapter begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. And so we have the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, the end to all the way to the end, Shin, Sin, and Tav. And so each of the 22 verses begins with, in sequence, a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The third chapter, which is 66 verses, the first three begin with Aleph, then the next three, Beit, and so forth until all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are covered. The fifth chapter is another strange one. The fifth chapter is the only one that's not an acrostic poem. It just has 22 verses in it, with a sort of a collage of whatever letter they start with. But the number 22 is still significant, reminding us that we're going from, to translate it into English, we're going from A to Z. And so the book of Lamentations, you could say, is the A to Z of human troubles. It's the A to Z of the kind of problems that we experience in our lives. I think if the book of Lamentations were written in English as a children's book, it would read something like this. A is for the agony we feel when we have been hurt or something taken away from us. B is for the bitterness that overwhelms us, that sometimes makes it impossible for us to feel hope or trust in others. C is for the curse that we feel has been cast upon us. D is for the disappointment that hounds us day after day. E is for the exhaustion we feel when we've had too many problems. F is for the fault finding and the blame that we can sometimes stumble into where we actually create enemies rather than friends. G is for the gall that wells up into our throats, representing all of the physical ailments we feel when we've had too much stress. H is for humiliation. I is for irritation. J is for joylessness. K is for being kicked around or kicked out. L is for lost, the feeling of being lost in the midst of all of our troubles. M is for mournfulness. N is for the negativism that becomes an attitude when we've been kicked around too much. O is for oppression. P is for pain. Q is for all the questions that have no answers. R is for the restlessness that we feel because we're not in a good place and we feel restless until we can get out of it. S is for being stuck, not being able to overcome a particular problem, not being able to get on with our lives and do the things that we want to do. T is for the tedium of problems that seem to weigh us down day after day. U is for undesirable and unattractive, how we feel about ourselves when we're down. V is for vexation, that annoyance and stress that plague us in times of trouble. W is for the worry that something bad that happened to someone else is going to happen to us, or something bad that had happened in the past is going to happen again. X is for the xenophobia, the fear we develop of people who are different from us when we are low, when we are down, when we are spiritually weak, that xenophobia that alienates us from the very people who could help us through our tragedies. Y is for the yoke, those interior and exterior shackles that keep us from being free. Z is for the zealotry, that overreaction to problems wherein we make things worse. Lamentations is the A to Z of difficulties and problems of life. Now, with Lamentations, we now come to the three questions that we're bringing to all the books of the Bible. What is the bad news of Lamentations? What is the good news of it? And what are the practical applications? It depends on the book of the Bible. Sometimes the bad news is really easy to answer. And with the book of Lamentations, we may want to ask the question, is there really any good news there in the book of Lamentations? And there is. I want to share that with you this morning. I want to be sure you hear that before you leave today. But the bad news of Lamentations is the sadness of all the stories of our lives that cause us to lament. And we all have those stories. We have those in common. The failures, the sicknesses, the deaths, the broken relationships, the bullies, the leaders who disappoint us. Our disobedience to God that has its consequences. The times when it seems that there's no one who really understands us or really loves us like we need. The bad news of Lamentations is that people don't seem to remember the qualities that we have. The bad news of Lamentations is that bad things are happening to people we love and we can't stop those bad things from happening. The bad news of Lamentations is that bad things are happening to our churches, our nation, our environment, our towns. These are things that are so enormous that we can't stop them. Our leaders can't stop them. Our doctors and our scientists can't stop them. Our government and our bishops can't stop them. That's the bad news of Lamentations. The bad news of Lamentations is that bad things are happening and God is not stopping them from happening. And we keep wondering where God is, and we can't figure it out. The bad news is that there aren't any rational or easy answers to the difficulties our world faces. The bad news of Lamentations is that God is silent and seems to be deaf to the pleadings of the suffering. That's the bad news of Lamentations. Never in Lamentations does God ever answer the cry of the poets. Bad news of Lamentations. What then could possibly be the good news of Lamentations? The good news of Lamentations is this. It's not in reading it. The good news of Lamentations is that in doing it, actually lamenting ourselves, borrowing the words, and making our own lament out of the words, the good news is this, that in lamenting, we are transformed. A lament, for example, reconnects us with God. When we're going through times of catastrophe, when our worlds are falling apart, we are as often likely to be separated from God as we are to draw near to God. Difficulties in this life often break our relationship with God, our communion, and our communication. And when we lament, that is, when we offer our complaint to God, we are taking the first steps, crass as they may be, to reconnecting with God. When we tell God about our anger, when we pour out to God our bitterness, when we ask God those questions and we know there won't be an answer to them, we are beginning, we're taking the first step to re-establishing communication with God. A lament is a powerful way to begin repairing a broken relationship. And our relationships with God do break when things get bad enough. Even Jesus from the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The lament is the first step of transformation because it reconnects us with God. And a lament, as long as we're willing to go from A to Z and get it all out there, and a lament will eventually help us face the full truth of our situation, including the likelihood that we ourselves are at least a little bit responsible for our predicament. As long as we're willing to go from A to Z and say everything, then we'll find ourselves rooted in the truth, which will include an understanding of our own selves. A lament will help us to be grounded in the truth. And only in the truth can we begin to rebuild. A lament is a catharsis. When we have troubles in our lives are filled with anguish and with anger and with bitterness. The lament helps to get that out. It helps us to vent the things that poison our souls and our bodies. When we lament, we detoxify ourselves. It's like having a good cry. It's like getting something off of our chest. The lament cleanses us. It makes us stronger in body and soul. Even if our problem is a physical problem, there are other parts of the body that can become stronger in the midst of even a health problem. The lament, by detoxifying us, makes us stronger in body and soul, and thus more able to navigate the kinds of problems that appear to everybody in this human life. In the sound of the lament, when many people are lamenting, we begin to hear each other. And we began to find community in our common suffering. Through the fog of our sufferings, the lament, the sound of lament helps us to find each other. The lamenting is a part of restoring our human community and fellowship. In our lamenting, we realize that we're not alone. In the sounds of lament, we begin to find ourselves sympathetic with one another. And in being connected through the lament, we find new strength with each other, new possibilities, new creativity by coming together. We are born again in community lament. Jesus lamented. Jesus lamented that there were people who were sick and demon-possessed and exiled because of leprosy. Jesus lamented for those who were thirsty and naked and in prison. He lamented at how immigrants were being treated and prisoners and the poor. Jesus lamented that the crowds were full of pessimism and negativity because they had no hope, because they had not yet heard the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus was full of joy. That's part of what drew people to him, but he was able to have that joy because he could lament and get rid of the toxicity within his spirit. And when we lament, it is in our lamenting that we will find Jesus. It is also in our lamenting that Jesus will hear us and find us and call us and engage our services and invite us to join his joy. There is good news in the lament. It is our way forward through the troubles that we face in our lives, no matter what those troubles are. Practical applications. The book of Lamentations is not for reading, it's for doing. If you read it, you'll be depressed. If you do it, you'll experience God's salvation. Lamenting has to be real. We have to tell it like it is. Tell it or write it. We have to be graphic. We have to complain to God, even question God. We've got to be honest with God in our laments. Honest with our feelings. In our laments, we need to petition God strongly, vigorously for justice and for new creation. We have to state our accusatory questions and allow ourselves in time to find ourselves yielding to wonder. The first practical point of Lamentations is it has to be something we do. We have to draw from its words and phrases and put them in our own words and phrases and begin talking to God. Second thing about Lamentations. Lamentations will help us keep our grief from becoming grievance. In these decades that I've been a pastor, I hear a lot of complaints among church people. I see at times a lot of irritation, a lot of touchiness. Things come along and we're quick to criticize, quick to complain, quick to be bothered by things. And it's not that those of us who lead a church don't deserve to have some criticism. I'm not talking about criticism. I'm talking about grievance. An almost automatic response, an inability to tolerate things that, come on, it's not that bad. And in trying to understand where do all the grievances come from, where does all the murmuring come from, why are we so touchy about things? One of the things that's clear is that every congregation I've ever had is full of people who've had lots of troubles in their lives. It's also, every congregation I've ever had has had a share of people who are of the age that they're going through a lot of losses, whether it's health or job or kids or friends or strengths that we used to have. And if we don't have a way of lamenting our losses, if we don't have some process for handling the grief that comes with life, then those griefs become grievances in time. And grievances cause the very relationships that we need to strain and deteriorate. And so Lamentations, from a very practical standpoint, it's something we should be doing more often in our churches. It's a horrible thing that I haven't preached on this for all of these decades. We ought to regularly be inviting people to practice. We should be teaching people to practice, to know how to lament, so that our griefs don't morph into grievances, straining the very relationships we need. And then a third practical point. Lamenting is never going to give us the answers we need. Don't expect by questioning God that you'll get an answer. You won't find out which path to go. You won't find out why God let it happen. You won't find out really where God... You're not going to get answers in Lamentations. But what lamenting will do is lamenting will open up our hearts so that we can receive the love and the joy and the peace that God has for us in our times of trouble. I guess I'm thinking a lot about that because of my mom's bypass surgery. There's a point where something has to be opened up to the heart. And in a spiritual sense, well, in a physical sense, I guess a bypass will help open up the flow of the heart. But in a spiritual sense, it's lament that will open up our hearts. And when we open our hearts in lament, what will flow in is God's grace and God's love and God's power. It's a short book. It's a weird book. It's not an easy book to read, but it is perhaps one of the single most important books of the entire Bible for the living of these days.